Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
So are you getting a better idea of what the word purity truly means? Well, I pray that the Lord continues to teach you in this area of purity and holiness as we press on with our discussion of how God makes us perfect in purity. We've been reading in Proverbs for the last several days, studying chapters 5, 6, and 7, and this is part of the Old Testament. Today we move to the New Testament, and we ask this question: how exactly did Jesus handle people who were sexual sinners? Did he yell at them at all? Did he shame them in any way? No, he did not. That in itself is a lesson for our current church leaders. But I digress. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, how and why the church distances itself from sexual sinners. Number two, how Jesus upholds the Old Testament law for adultery, and at the very same time, he ushers in New Testament grace. Number three, how Jesus is not just the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, but he is also the groom of grooms. Today's lesson is titled, Neither Do I. So there's an expression in Bible study. It's a phrase. It's Scripture interprets Scripture. And that means basically, where else can I find this topic in the Bible? If I'm in the Old Testament, I like to see, okay, this is in the Old Testament. Where in the New Testament can I find this topic? Today we're talking about sexuality. Better question for you Bible scholars is, where do I see Jesus talking about this? Where can I find that? I would like you to flip over to John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. I've got it up on the screen for you as well. Early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he started to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they placed her in the midst. That means they placed her in the middle of everything. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman's been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you got to say?" So let me just pause here for a second. If you're a first-time guest to the church, welcome to Northern Hills. If you're unfamiliar with this text, stoning, getting stoned, is not what you think. Okay? Getting stoned is a form of execution. What's going on here is that this woman was on her way to her deathbed. Can you imagine the scene? I mean, just like we're gathering here today, imagine a half a dozen people just busting through the doors and dragging this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Imagine the scene that would disrupt this whole service, right? What's the first thing that you would notice about this woman? If she was just caught in the act of adultery, she's most likely naked. Maybe she has something around her. But the reality is that this woman is crying. She's in shock. She's got tears streaming down her face, and she's trying to cover herself. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the circus? These pastors, these priests, these ministers, they were joyfully getting ready to carry out God's law for sexual sin. Make no doubt about it, her adultery was punishable by death. And I know that's really hard to even fathom in the culture that we live. But here's the thing, so is the man. They were breaking the very law that they were trying to uphold because the man was not there. The law states that the adulterer and the adulteress must be stoned. They must be executed. And where is he?
Verse 6. This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. So Jesus bent down, and he wrote with his finger on the ground. So what's going on here? If Jesus said that the woman should not be executed, then the pastors and the priests and the ministers would then accuse Jesus of breaking the law of Moses. But if Jesus said that she should be executed, then those same men are going to run to the Romans and go, he's getting ready to break Roman law. Because Roman law says Jews cannot carry out their own execution. So they're trying to trick Jesus. Verse 7, as they continued to ask him, he stood up and he said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone. So once again, imagine this scene. They continued to ask him. Have you ever had a bunch of people asking you the same question over and over and over again? Jesus, we caught this woman. It's the law, what do you say? What do you say? This woman over there, this woman over in the midst, we're not going to stand next to her, but it's this woman. See, that's distancing language. This woman that I don't want anything to do with, she's broken the law. And they say it with such complete disgust. This woman. We heard kind of the same thing with President Clinton with Monica Lewinsky a few years back. Remember what he said? I did not have sexual relations with who? With that woman, Miss Lewinsky. He distanced himself from her. So what's Jesus do here? It's amazing. It's so amazing. He, in perfect truth and unimaginable grace, he says, okay, for those of you guys who have never sinned, go right ahead. Start warming up. Can you imagine the silent? Like you would have heard a pin drop. Just, they have never heard anything like that before. And what he does with this statement is incredible. See, he fulfills the Old Testament law. He upholds it. And yet, at the very same time, he ushers in this thing called New Testament grace. It's grace. He does that with one sentence. It's almost like Jesus is going, you know what, guys? Did you hear my Sermon on the Mount? I was talking about lust that day. You may want to pick up a copy. It's going to be a bestseller. I'm just saying. Verse 8. So once more, Jesus bends down and he starts to write something on the ground. Verse 9. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and then Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. So the older and the wiser men, they immediately get pierced to the heart. He's talking about my sin now? No thanks. I'm done. But see, the younger men, the less mature men, the men who have not lived long enough to make those kind of mistakes, they're still gripping their stones out of self-righteousness. And then finally, they start dropping their stones and they start leaving. Verse 10, so Jesus stands up and he says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Now keep in mind, we're still in a Bible study. The pastors, the priests, the ministers, those guys have all gone, but you guys are still watching this whole thing. They haven't gone anywhere. They're not leaving this Bible study. It's the best Bible study ever, right? They're watching this whole thing unfold out. So we see Jesus go, woman, where are they? Where'd all those guys go? Woman, a term of endearment. Jesus called his own mother woman. Gentlemen, let me ask you this. Guys, Can you imagine Jesus looking into the eyes of this scared woman who's completely in shock, looking into the eyes and saying, "Where'd they go?" He's not looking at another body part. With complete tenderness and love, he is looking her in her eyes. But see, she doesn't realize that this man standing right in front of her, he is the Lord of Lords, and he is the King of Kings, and this man is the groom of all grooms. This man is not going to hurt this woman. He's the perfect man. And if you look at this woman's life, there's a series of choices that have gone from A to B to C to get her to commit adultery. And she's looking for love in all the wrong places, and love is standing right in front of her. Oh my gosh. Has no one condemned you? The words come from the man who is the lover of her soul. In other words, is no one here that's going to mock you anymore or judge you or shame you or abuse you? Where'd they go? We finally hear her speak in verse 11. She says three words, "No one, Lord." And Jesus says, "Well, neither do I. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." The NIV reads, "Go and leave your life of sin." She speaks three words, and Jesus speaks three words. He says, "Neither do I." Guys, I think that we need to hear those words today. Neither do I. Some of you are going, "Well, Dustin, I don't know about all that because, you know, you don't know me. And you don't know the life that I lived, and you don't know my mistakes, and you don't know what's going through my head, and yeah. Well, that may be true, but see, it doesn't matter what I think. It only matters what Jesus says, and Jesus says, "Neither do I. I don't condemn you."
Isn't that amazing? How Jesus treats people. The way that Jesus handles questions from the pastors and the priests and the ministers of his day to the young, proud, arrogant, self-righteous men who were holding those stones, who just couldn't wait to kill somebody in the name of Old Testament law, to our main character of the story, the woman caught in adultery. And better yet, isn't it amazing how Jesus treats you? So if I may, please allow me to ask you some probing questions today. Do you really realize or recognize how good you have it? Have you thanked God for your health? What about the things that you take for granted every day, like the food in the fridge and the gas in the car, the roof over your head? Have you thanked Him for the job and the ability to even make a living? And what about your spouse, your friends, your family, your church? Have you thanked Him for those people in your life? No matter how screwed up they may be, have you thanked Him? I got to tell you, I love this story of the woman caught in adultery. And I pray that as you read it and you reread it, that the Lord reveals new and amazing things. I also pray that as He reveals His amazing truths to you, that you start to love others just a fraction of how much He loves you. If we call ourselves a Christian, we are to love God and to love people, and love people by putting them first, no matter the cost to us. Lastly, I realize that many of you may be thinking, not about the woman that was caught in adultery, but the man that wasn't there. Did that strike a chord with you? Maybe you could see yourself in His absence. So what happened to Him? Did He run away? Did the religious leaders let Him go? Did those two ever talk again? And if so, what did they say to one another? I want you to know that I was once that man myself. I was a coward who ran from all of my life's responsibilities, all of my relationships. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I would still be that man. So what changed me? Well, Jesus changed me. Jesus, through the power of the local church. Jesus, through the community of godly men in my life. What changed me was Jesus, a new life in him. See, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. He's become a new creation. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. That is so amazing. It's so mind-blowing. It's so good. It seems too good to be true. Jesus is faithful to his promises, and when he says that your old life is gone, your new life has begun, it's true. Now, I've also been talking about how important structure is over the past few days. God provided a structure for me to learn why I personally use pornography, why I use sex to bring comfort into my life. He taught me through the process of godly discipleship why I've got this propensity towards lust. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I created this 35-day audio devotional. It's 13, going on 14 years now of my walk with the Lord in recovery that you can experience in just 35 days. It specifically addresses the bondage to pornography. It's called The Sex Spiral. I designed this series as an individual study because I know that you don't want to go to anybody and tell them what's going on in your mind. I know the shame. I know the embarrassment there. But let me encourage you here, because this could be the first phase, the first chapter in your new life of actually learning sexual purity, having sexual integrity, and then remaining sexually sober. So think about this. In just 1 month, your life can look completely different. Learning God's design for sex, marriage, and the family through Genesis 1 and 2. And then learning through the rest of the Bible the triggers that lead to porn addiction. This is not based in psychology. This is based in God's Word. So let me encourage you to order it today. You can go to dustindaniels.org, click on store, and receive a 20% discount with the promotional code PODCAST. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. And you can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. If you got a question for me, you can email me your question at dustindaniels.org. The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. And that power, my friend, it's in the name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that you walk worthy today as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.